This is Jason Q. Citizen and Friends on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello and welcome to the Jason Q. Citizen and Friends program. A lot happens in 24 hours, doesn't it? Yesterday we were reporting that what feels like a day is getting almost a year's worth of headlines. Yesterday we were out in the clear, terrific article came out, virtually vindicating all the great work I thought I'd done on reporting the COVID stats that came out in the Daily Mail and pretty much said everything that I've been saying for the last year. Go to bed, wake up, and then the TGA decides that it's going to approve this vaccine for the under fives here in Australia only a few short weeks after the same information was released into the United States. And thankfully over there, the parents aren't as silly and are not taking them up on the offer. In many Republican states, the vaccination rate amongst the under fives is still languishing at 0%. And in some of the Democratic states, up in the 1 or 2 or 3% range. So very, very low stats. One wonders, therefore, whether the Australian parents will follow that scent or will they be coerced and convinced to, inverted commas, protect their children. So the purpose of today's show will be to dismantle that narrative using the government's own data, both here and abroad, and also to introduce in a few minutes' time wonderful friend of mine and brilliant former nurse, Mary Jane Stevens, who, along with myself, stood up and decided to represent her community in the recent federal election. Mary Jane is certainly outspoken in the space and not afraid to say what she knows out there in the real world. And this interview today will become a very valuable resource that I would encourage you to share with your friends and family as the time goes forward, when more information will be needed and evidence of what was known at the time will come to pass. Now, out of Israel, they're claiming through their newspaper, The Times of Israel, that the fourth COVID vaccine has provided a 72% reduction in death rates amongst those most vulnerable Israelis, according to new peer-reviewed research. You always get the headline, and then you got to look a little bit deeper. They said the fourth shot of Pfizer's vaccine, and they only take Pfizer over there, having signed a monopoly deal with the German company, slashed the chance of hospitalization for COVID by over 60% and delivered a 34% reduction in chances of infection, according to a study out of Ben Gurion University and the health ministry. So, as I like to do in these situations, I like to go back to the full stats and then distill where we exactly are. So, a couple of things to point out here. In Israel, a population of 9.3 million people, 4.5 million people in that country, almost 50%, have been diagnosed with COVID once, twice, three times or more. Currently, they have 64,000 cases of COVID. 310 of those people are currently in ICU, which means they're considered serious. In Israel, they've had just over 11,000 deaths, and their death rate per million is right on 1,200 deaths per million. In the last 90 days, they're averaging 5 deaths per day in that country. Their vaccine rate was over 80% for the double jabbed, and currently 66% sitting on the triple jabbed rate there. So that gives you a picture. Australia, 25.6 million people, total cases, 8.8 million in our country, so almost double Israel. 34% of the country has now had COVID, so lower than Israel, but we currently have 384,000 cases, six times the amount that they have in Israel, despite only having 2.5 times the population. However, instead of 310 cases in ICU, we only have 155, suggesting that it's a bit more mild here or that our population is a little bit more resilient than the Israelis. Our death rate is just about to hit 11,000, the same as Israel, but our death per million, because we have more people in this country, is lower than the 1,200 over there at 434. However, in the last 90 days, instead of 5 deaths per day out of Israel, Australia is clocking up an average of 44 deaths per day. That's almost 9 times the amount, having had 3,933 deaths in the last 90 days out of Australia. And as we know, 95% double jabbed, 68% tripled. Okay, what does it all mean? Well, let's go and look at what they would call the control group. What's he talking about? Well, let's cross the border in Israel into Palestine. Same land, formerly the same country, give or take, and the same climate. So, what's the story in Palestine? Well, compared to Israel, they have roughly 60% of that population at 5.3 million. Instead of 4.5 million cases in Israel for COVID, they've had just 592,000. And currently, instead of 64,000 cases out of Israel, they've currently only got 4,362. And serious cases, just 17, as opposed to 310. Currently, 5,360 deaths. Deaths per million rate is just over 1,000 instead of 1,200. Now, here's the kicker. You ready for this? Deaths in the last 90 days. Australia, 3,933. Israel, 434. Palestine, you ready for this? 7. They've only had 7 deaths to COVID in the last 90 days. How's that possible? Well, the glaring numbers are these. The vaccination rate in Palestine is 30% or less. So what does that say about what is going on here? Given that Australia was almost a perfect storm, given that Omicron hit our shores at virtually the exact same time as we were let out into the wider community and they went and stopped all of the current COVID lockdowns and mandates and all the rest of it. So, did Australia walk into a perfect storm? Are we just over-vaccinated and now seeing the fallout? The story is quite impressive because what you're seeing is that Palestine has gone the other way. Now, for a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, right here on TNT Radio.
Clashing on the controversies.
It's a woke society, and I am fed up with it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Mary Jane Stevens. Welcome back to Jason Q Citizen and Friends. Now, Mary Jane, are you there?
I am. How are you, Jason? Thank you so much for having me back.
Oh, look, it's terrific. Thank you so much for joining me. Now, the news today must really, you know, knock you over with a feather. I mean, you're a registered nurse by trade, no longer in the profession. This was probably the big D-Day, wasn't it, for all of us parents thinking, when will they actually try this on? We saw the ramp up to where we're going. The numbers just don't add up in any way, and they still come out and they try and justify it. Paul Kelly came out today and said, with the best available evidence, there's always, always a caveat, the best available evidence, and the only evidence they had was out of the US. Why didn't they do the study here on Australian soil, which is exactly what the youth advocate went to the High Court to ask for, and they knocked her back and they wouldn't even let her get standing to hear that case. It's a crazy, mad world.
Well, I think, you know, looking at the globe or the world, it was just a matter of time, really. I think that they were going to roll this out to the babies because they need the babies. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has spoken about this at length. You know, the FDA, they need the babies on board because if they can get approval for the vaccine in the babies, they have indemnity forever. Forever, you know. Yep. So that's what they needed. They needed to roll this out to babies. And it's just a tragedy because, you know, we know there's deaths, and why are we sacrificing babies and children for the greater good? Not one death is too many, and there's been far more than just one death. It's madness, to be honest. And, you know, if you look at the TGA are privately funded. They're a privately funded organisation you know, masquerading as a government agency. You know, 96% of their funding comes from the very organisations, the pharmaceutical companies that they are meant to regulate. That is a massive red flag, and it's a massive conflict of interest. You know, how is this even allowed? And the general public have no idea that this is occurring. You know, probably half Yep. the medical profession don't even realise that the TGA is a privately funded organisation. They don't answer to anybody. They answer to their gods, and their gods are the big pharma. They're the big pharmaceutical companies that are paying the bills.
Yes. We look upon it and think, who are they working for? Like you just said, like that's the TGA component. Then you get the, they wheel out all these bureaucrats and these health officials and the health advice, not the advisors. You just call it advice, like it's some, from some mysterious land. And yet who do they represent when you know that the end goal is to get the indemnity locked away forever? Then are they representing Big Pharma, obviously, versus the people? Obviously not. And you can't help but shake your head and get so frustrated when you look at this and you say, at what point are you just going to take a precaution? And yet a perfect storm with the this new Fandango BA4, BA5, BA2.75 justifying an increase in cases so that everyone goes crazy and then runs around and wants to mask up and get a round of vaccines and give it to everyone else. Like it worked? It hasn't worked. It's entirely failed. Mm. And yet we still think that we'll do it again and again and again and again until what? Until we actually look overseas officially and go, wow, they're not actually having such a bad run of this overseas. So perhaps we have got it wrong. But it's like Australia thinks that it's so high and mighty or so super precious that we can only look within our own boundaries now. We can't possibly look at anything else. So they don't want to, they don't have to, and they're better than looking at that now. Is this why the system is so rotten and the reason why we struggled so much here, why we went through such a horrible period of lockdown? I mean, the fact now that they're saying that we're short of healthcare workers, has anyone knocked on your door and asked you to come back to work?
Oh, look, I don't think anyone from Queensland Health will want me back on staff because, you know, I've been speaking out for a long time now. So, yeah, no, I don't think so. I just want my day in court now. I just want to get to take the stand. And all the lawyers and the barristers that I'm talking to are saying quite clearly that they won't allow that to happen because I'm a dangerous witness because I've witnessed so much firsthand. So Queensland Health won't want me in court and they certainly won't want me taking the stand against them.
Isn't it amazing how this works in authority? They're meant to be, you know, people almost beg now for the government to save them. Please, government, put out the mask mandate so we can all be saved. Please, government, hand out $750 so we can stay home if we get sick with COVID. And yet when somebody actually has the goods to be able to point it out, goodness me, no, we don't want you. It's like all of a sudden all of us are derivatives of Julian Assange. If you say the truth, let's lock you away.
We're shut down. Yeah, it's crazy. A couple of things on this Moderna, though. 38% of this Moderna trial that they did in the kids in the US, 38% suffered adverse events.
Yeah.
Yep. And a lot of European countries have actually stopped Moderna shots for under 20s. You know, why are we giving it to babies?
Oh, but it's the best available evidence, Mary Jane, according to Paul Kelly, the best available evidence.
Babies and anyone under the age of 20, you could even say 30, unless you're suffering severe comorbidities, you are almost a 0% chance of dying from COVID. Now, if you don't know that by now, then you are living under a rock or you are so brainwashed by this mass psychosis that's happened from the never-ending fear porn and propaganda that is spilling out of our health departments in our mainstream media every day to make people afraid of living.
Yes, you said it. Now, Mary Jane, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell briefly the story of two tragedies amongst a five-year-old child and a three-year-old child that were lost officially to COVID. But when you hear the story behind it, it will put it into perspective. I would like this show to become a bit of a reference point for people who need something to present to their family members as part of what maybe form their background information for informed consent. There's a lot to talk about. Don't go anywhere. You are on TNT Radio.
Dolores Cahill on TNT Radio.
So my first guest this morning, it's always a pleasure to welcome back John O'Looney all the way from England. Hi, John. And if you want to tell the listeners, I'm sure everybody is very aware of your freedom fighting. And any updates from you, John?
Still more of the same, unfortunately. We're getting an unnatural number of young people who are presenting having died from blood clots and thrombosis-based deaths that clearly isn't. We had a young lad in who had been given a post-mortem, and we've been kind of waiting for a youngster who died suddenly to be able to have a closer look at him. The family then requested that we embalm this young man, so we did so, and we opened his cavity up and sourced the various arteries that we use, and couldn't get in them because they're full of a white substance that it was quite obvious to me why he died.
Weekends with Dolores Cahill on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches, and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swimming in racism.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
News more twisted than soap operas and with worse actors. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program. I'm here with Mary Jane Stevens, a former nurse out of Queensland. Not very popular amongst the Queensland government, and that's a good thing because that means that she's speaking a truth that they don't really like. This truth perhaps could be measured when you look at the statistics that Mary Jane mentioned before the break, and that is the unlikeliness of dying from COVID if you are aged 30 or under in this country. Now, to back that up, there have been 1.787 million cases of COVID to Australians aged 30 and under. And the total deaths in that area of over nearly 1.8 million cases has been just 49 deaths out of nearly 8 million cases. That represents a fatality rate of 1 out of every 36,500 people who got COVID in that age group. Now, what does that mean as a percentage of overall deaths in the country? Well, 49 out of 10,719 means that under 0.5% of all deaths in COVID occur in people 29 and under. How many people in Australia are aged 29 and under? What percentage of the population? Well, how about this? Try 39% of the population is aged 0 to 29 and they count for just 0.5%. Mary Jane, I think in the numbers alone, that would prove that this is not a one-size-fits-all problem, and it certainly does not justify a one-size-fits-all solution, does it?
It does not. And I don't know if you've looked up the UK official data, but out of the UK Office for National Statistics up until March of 2022, this is for the 10 to 14-year-olds. So this is the mortality rate. For unvaccinated children between 10 and 14, they had a death rate of 0.33 per 100,000.
Wow.
So compare that to children that had actually had the vaccine, so two or more vaccines.
Yep.
The death rate jumped to 500 per 100,000. Now that means it's massive. So it's 39 times more likely to die from COVID if you have been vaccinated as a child between 10 and 14, or 30,200% more likely to die from COVID if you have received a vaccine.
These numbers are just unbelievable. You could not make them up. They're that bad.
Well, it's official data. You can go and find it. UK Office for National Statistics, you know, mortality rates per 100,000. It's shocking. You know, Robert Malone, you know, the Dr. Robert Malone, he put out an urgent call for parents, all parents, and he put it out in January, I believe, of this year. It was a 5 to 7 minute video and he read it from a script, and he never normally reads from a script.
Yep.
And it was shut down. It was taken down off Twitter. It was taken down off every news platform that wasn't independent. And he's been warning parents and begging them, please do not take these injections. Let's be honest, we're not calling them vaccines anymore because that's not what they are. A vaccine traditionally is a substance that is injected into your body that gives immunity, which stops you from getting a disease and gives you immunity, so you cannot pass that on to somebody else. Now, all of those things are actually null and void now, because with these injections, you can actually still catch this thing. You still can carry it, pass it on. And the statistics worldwide are saying that if you get injected, the more times you get injected by whatever you're getting injected with, you are more likely to get it. You are more likely to get sick. You are more likely to go to hospital, more likely to end up in ICU, and more likely to die. So the more you get, the more likely it is, the worse outcome for you. Now, going back to Robert Malone, he was the co-inventor of this technology. So if there was ever an expert to talk about the mRNA, he co-invented it back in the 80s, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So
I'll check on the
I think it was quite a long time ago, you know, before anybody else. He was one of the first. Yes. He was the co-inventor. So it's for somebody like him to be putting out a warning for parents. Please just listen. Even Dr. Peter McCullough last week put out a call to say, I mean, he'd been sitting on the fence talking about childhood vaccines because he was all pro-vaccines, but because of the carnage that's been unfolding over the last 6 to 9 months and seeing the things that he's witnessing and talking to other experts that are also witnessing this just massive increase in death and disability from these injections, he's now warning parents, not only not get this COVID injection, but probably not get any childhood vaccines, because the talk is amongst these experts that they're using the same technology in the childhood vaccines now. So the mRNA may well be in the tetanus. It may well be in the whooping cough and the diphtheria. He's now warning against having any childhood vaccine. So I would be saying to any parent that has a child, please, please do your research outside of your government, outside of your health departments, outside of what your GP is saying, and look elsewhere. Look to the people that are getting shut down. They can give you information.
Well said. We're going to quickly pause for the news headlines. We'll be back with more after this. You're on TNT Radio.
With a quick check of the day's headlines, I'm Matt Boyland. Students at all private and public schools in Australia's second most populous state are once again being advised to wear masks in the classroom. There are now just four contenders left in the race to replace disgraced British PM Boris Johnson, with a new leader set to be announced on September 5. Over a dozen prisoners have been killed in yet another riot in Ecuador, and China has demanded the US terminate its latest weapons deal with Taiwan.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah, 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio, or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk, this is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program. I'm here with Mary Jane Stevens, and we're talking about the childhood vaccine announcement today that Australia under fives are now eligible, like it's some sort of prize, to go take it. Mary Jane is warning for people to go and do their research. It's absolutely crucial. And to just provide those statistics once again, in Australia, 412 confirmed cases of COVID in the 0 to 9 age group, resulting in just 12 deaths. I have been reporting on that for some time now. And of those 12 deaths, many of them were not actually caused by the virus themselves, but by the child's comorbidity. The two cases that I wanted to bring up in this show today of these children under 9 that have actually died and been reported as such. Now, one of them came out of news.com.au. It's a Queensland family, so that'll be found in the Courier Mail up there. And it's the family of a Queensland youngest COVID victim speaks out after the tragic death. Now, this little poor little darling Ruby passed away in February of this year, but she had a pre-existing condition called Cockayne syndrome type 2 diagnosis. Now, a quick check of what Cockayne syndrome is. There's type 1 and type 2. Cockayne syndrome is rare worldwide. No racial predilection is reported for this syndrome. No sexual predilection is described for Cockayne syndrome. The male to female ratio is equal. Cockayne syndrome 1 manifests in child. Cockayne syndrome 2 manifests at birth or in infancy, and it has a worse diagnosis. Life expectancy is 12 for Cockayne syndrome. This poor little sweetheart, she couldn't walk and she couldn't talk. She was 5 years old and she sadly got COVID and died. Now, this obviously represents an unusual scenario that she's not a healthy child. Now, the other child that I want to talk about, one of the 12 that I've been able to identify just out there in mainstream media, this little boy died in January of this year and his name was Sebi or Sebastian. Now, he was 3 years old. This little boy had a condition, another rare condition called Niemann-Pick disease, a condition which affects the body's ability to metabolize fat in the cells. Now, sadly, Niemann-Pick disease has a life expectancy of just two. So out of that, you've got an unusual scenario that already 16% of the children that have died have got conditions that they weren't going to live normal lives by any means. Mary Jane, what are your thoughts on this? And are we being further gaslit when they say the best available evidence and you must get it because children are dying? This is not true representation, is it?
No. If you actually look at world data, you will find that children, as I've said before, are almost next to 0% likely to die from this flu-like disease. The more you inject them with a foreign substance, it's a toxic substance. And the thing about this injection is that it contains a thing called a spike protein. Now, this spike protein will run rampant in your body, and they do not have the data available yet because we've only been into this now for what, a year of injections, just over?
Yes.
March last year, I think they rolled it out. We've got a year's worth of data. Now, TGA won't release that data. So the spike protein, we just don't know what kind of damage it's going to cause long term. You know, if you listen to Dr. Ryan Cole from the UK, the US, he's telling you in his postmortems of vaccinated deaths, he's finding spike protein in every major organ. Every major organ it's found. Now, if we're injecting our babies with a toxic substance that contains this, it is the toxin. They're calling it the spike protein is the toxin. Why are we injecting our children with a toxic poison to save them from a disease that is very likely not going to kill them anyway? They have got more chance of dying from the spike protein because we don't know what it's going to do. We don't know where it's going to go. And it's going to go everywhere. It doesn't stay in that muscle of your arm. It travels. The trials say that it travels. It travels to your brain, travels to your lungs, to your spleen, to your ovaries, to your testes, and it lingers there. And it's in the trial data. It's there. You just need to go and look.
Now, with a traditional old school vaccine, which was a little piece of attenuated dead virus that was injected into a human being, and the body effectively mapped that virus, created an antibody, and therefore if you got that virus in the future, the real one, the antibody was there and the body would then go out and make more antibodies and effectively lock into key or key into lock would stop it from being able to invade the cells. With this mRNA gene therapy, whatever you want to call it, this whatever's injected into the body is not a piece of attenuated dead virus at all. It's actually a blueprint to make a mimic of the virus so that the body can go out and make that antibody. So what's actually happening is this spike protein is replicating itself and going all throughout the body as opposed to just sitting there waiting for it to happen, let's say in the body's internal lab, so to speak, of an old school virus. It's a completely different scenario. Out of all the people that you've spoken to, whether in the medical profession or not, how many would actually understand that, Mary Jane, that that's how it's working so differently? Or do most people just think it's all the same as it's always ever been?
Well, you don't have any literature here. There's no mention really of, well, there is a slight mention if you go onto TGA or if you go onto the State Department health sites, they talk about the spike protein. But all they say is that it's encapsulated in this nano lipid particle and it stays in the muscle and it doesn't travel, which is actually a fabrication and a lie. It's an outright lie that happens because it was in the Pfizer documents that the spike protein travels. It goes to all those places. You know, why do we have this massive increase in heart conditions and people having cardiac arrests and people like children having heart inflammation? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out that since we've rolled out these injections, we've now got a massive increase in heart attacks and heart failure and heart inflammation. It's all linked back to these injections. It's undeniable now. You cannot ignore the fact that children are getting, you know, possibly life-altering heart failure and heart attacks and heart inflammation. It's just heartbreaking that this is happening, and it's being suppressed and hidden, and families that are trying to speak are getting gaslit. They're being told by the medical professionals that it's unrelated. It couldn't be from the injection. So is everyone in the healthcare industry corrupt? I can't say that for sure. I would like to hope that all of my ex-colleagues are just so ill-informed and have been so let down by their government and so let down by the people that employ them that they have believed and continue to believe the narrative that's being offered to them, which is that it's safe and it's effective. And I don't know where this is going to go. I do see a lot of heartbreak and a lot of sadness coming when people that I did work with realize that this is actually what, you know, the truth is coming out, and you cannot keep suppressing this much truth for this much for that much longer. It's almost impossible to keep it under lid.
Yes. I'd like to offer you this this perspective that's something that was given to me some time ago, just to explain your perspective on the idea, can they all be corrupted or corrupt? It's the idea of people being promoted to their level of incompetence. And what I mean is that you climb the ladder and you get to a certain stage in that ladder and then you just stop. That's the best you're ever going to do, and you're going to be a middle manager or a nursing unit manager, or you're going to just be a registered nurse, enrolled nurse, whatever it is, doesn't matter. But you get to that level, and beyond that, you're not capable of doing it. And then we introduce the concept of compartmentalization surrounding the idea of the being promoted to your level of incompetence. And what I mean by that is that you stick to your role as the scientist, the manager, the nursing unit manager, the GP, whatever it is, or a bureaucrat, and you don't stand on someone else's toes in a situation like this because authority has its way of doing things. And obviously, they don't stand on yours. So this provides for the scenario whereby you learn to look the other way when you need to, or you learn not to look when you need to. And I feel like we are the only ones here that have had this itch that we can't stop scratching about understanding a brand new technology when we know that even the origins of the virus are dubious. They still haven't been settled. And the World Health Organization is insisting that it wants to control the world for future pandemics, and yet we haven't even got to the origins of COVID this time. Does that resonate with you, Mary Jane?
I think you're probably onto something there. I think that there's an element of what you said about, you know, people are just, they get to where they get to, and then they almost shut themselves off to any new information. But I do believe there is some sort of level of corruption happening. I believe that some middle management, possibly executive level, knew and didn't take it, and potentially probably got saline, I'm thinking. I don't have any proof, but, you know, if we look to Europe, if we look to Spain, which came out recently where a head of a pharmaceutical company paid money, along with 2,200 other elites of that country, when you pay to get a fake certificate or be injected with a placebo like saline, salty water, if that is happening in Spain, you can pretty much guarantee it's happening in every other country. So that leads me to suspect that some of our elites in Australia, being politicians, heads of hospitals, executives, heads of departments, also may have done the same thing. But again, I have no proof, and I can't point my finger at any particular person, but I would suggest that possibly that's happening everywhere.
It's a frightening thing to think, and it was kind of obvious, wasn't it, when this head of Big Pharma has got caught trying to pay to have saline injected so he can simply stamp his books. So he wants to go along to get along and rot the system at the same time and not have the bravado or the wherewithal to stand up against the system that's coming down, which suggests the idea of compartmentalization.
Correct.
And being promoted to your level of incompetence. We're going to have to take another break. When we come back, I want to talk to you a bit more about how it's possible that they could even work out what the correct dosage would be in these little tiny bubs, kids with who may weigh just 10 kilos or less, and how you can even think that a newborn could take the same dose as a five-year-old, because I've seen some very big five-year-olds. None of it makes sense to me, and so much more to ask you about that. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Well, for a climate catastrophe, it's certainly pretty boring out there. We have a lot of hot weather across eastern Siberia. And, of course, the heat is spreading into Europe, as we were talking about. We're really concerned about what's going on in Germany, given their power situation. And now, lo and behold, Texas, after cooling in their summers for the last 10 years, is warning people about blackouts there. That has to be directly related to an energy policy, which don't ask me to explain it. It's still cool across northern Australia right now. Much of northern Africa is cool, even as Europe gets very, very hot. We have very little tropical cyclone activity going on right now. Pacific Hurricane Darby is small and intense and out in the middle of nowhere and heading for nowhere. This has been WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio. Remember, enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Hi, Gemma Simon here from the Newcastle Jets for RAD. Playing any sport means setting the right example. And it's not just about how players focus and behave when they're on the field. It's also about their actions and behaviours off it. That includes things like drink driving, drug driving, and driver distractions. No one can perform properly if they're under the influence or distracted. So, make sure you make the right decisions when it comes to getting behind the wheel of a car, and you'll definitely earn respect for it.
A message from RAD.
The Great Reinfection.
With thanks to the COVID vaccine.
COVID vaccines are not safe and don't work. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Jason Q, Citizen and Friends, where we learn that in Australia in the past 90 days, we've had 3,933 deaths due to COVID, despite a 95% double jabbed rate. In Israel, in the same period, they've had 434 deaths, despite being 80% double jabbed and onto their fourth jab, like here in Australia. Palestine, just 7 deaths in the last 90 days, 30% double jabbed. And Nigeria, wait for it, in the last 90 days, 1 COVID death, despite being just 4% double jabbed. Mary Jane, this is a very telling statistic, and yet, when you talk to the people in authority, they entirely deny it.
Yes, and they're carrying on that same narrative. Go and get your booster. If you haven't had your booster yet, now's the time to go to protect yourself, to protect your family, to protect your grandma and your grandpa. And if you haven't had your first booster, go and have your first. We're up to our second, and then even talking now about their fifth. They've just started talking about the fifth dose. So, you know, it's just a never-ending cycle now of, oh, next variant, better get your booster. Next variant, better get your booster.
Yes, and this is the other point of that, is that it came out way back when Omicron was first discovered that Albert Bourla and someone else in Big Pharma at the same time confirmed it, that the spike protein of the virus had mutated, which meant that the vaccine was no longer fit for purpose. Bourla came out saying this and saying that we had to manufacture a new vaccine to match the new spike protein mutation. Now, over at Targi when they approved the fourth jab recently, a report came out and mysteriously vanished that said that they were aware of this but didn't know whether to just go with it anyway or wait for the new jab. And, well, they decided to just go with the existing because something was better than nothing. This level of medical negligence is next level and suggests that there must be an entire write-off of the system and start again if we're ever going to get past this. But you just can't behave this way anymore, and yet they still do.
It's actually, in my eyes, it's a criminal offence what they're doing now. It's just completely fraudulent because they're advising people to go and get vaccinated, you know, injected, let's be honest, with the substance that was made for the first variant. For the first COVID. So if you're literally makes no sense. And if you sit down and talk about it rationally, why would you go and get another injection when it's the same injection that didn't actually protect you from the first strain? Why would it now protect you against the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth strain? The same disease when it was made for the first strain. They haven't changed it. It's the very same ingredient, same substance, same everything. It makes no sense.
It beggars belief. And yet at the same time, the TGA and the FDA overseas in the United States were never required to do any subsequent testing, even though it may have been tweaked or not, on the results of the second or the third or the fourth jab. It was said, oh, it was close enough, so we'll let it be approved automatically. Mm. This is something that's never gone on before. We've never, ever, ever had to take four jabs in 12 months for a coronavirus. Obviously, it's never had a vaccine for a coronavirus. And the reason why, would you believe? It's because they are known to mutate too quickly. And when we talk about Robert Malone and the invention of mRNA, one of the reasons why it was always not used, and this was known, was because they always knew about the drastic side effects of this technology. So when Albert Bourla again at Pfizer came out and said in a meeting he had with the head of BioNTech, and they said, we're going to use mRNA. And in this interview that Bourla gives, he goes, oh, I was surprised that he said we're going to use mRNA. So I said, okay, well, let's go with mRNA. It was like watching two guys in an episode of Breaking Bad cooking up something in their motorhome out the back. You certainly wasn't a company capable of making, you know, billions and billions of doses of this medicine. This is the great anomaly in all of this stuff. You expect, you know, this is the biggest industry on planet Earth, and you'd expect some massive fortress and this massive situation. You got this guy hanging around talking to you like he's just some, you know, experimental science teacher in a back lab. I just can't believe what I'm seeing on a daily basis. Now, Mary Jane, can you tell me what's happened with the dosage here of Moderna? What can you tell us about that for the children? What are they doing with it?
So my understanding from what I've read is that the Moderna dose for babies is going to be 25 micrograms. Now, to put that into perspective, they give 3 micrograms for the Pfizer mRNA.
Right.
So I know they're not the same product, but it's still an mRNA delivery system.
Yep.
But and that's a lot. Like you're giving a baby, as like a tiny, tiny little baby, the same dose. Well, it's 8 times the Pfizer dose, but it's the same dose that you would give a 5, a 6, a 7, a 10-year-old. You know,
wow.
10-year-olds can be 35 kilos, and you're giving a baby who is
3-4 kilos. Yeah.
You know, that could kill them instantly.
Yeah.
Which no doubt would, you know, get ready for it. Get ready for it. You know, Pfizer actually, I don't know if it's in Moderna, but I've checked the Pfizer documents myself, and Pfizer actually added, after the trials, they added an ingredient to the child's vaccines called tromethamine.
Yes, they did.
Right? Tromethamine is a blood acid. They use that medication in people that have heart attacks. So after you've had a cardiac arrest, go to the hospital, and one of the medications they give you is trimethamine.
Mm.
They put that in the children's vaccines because of the massive increase in cardiac arrests. And they thought, well, I don't know what they thought, but they added it as an adjuvant after the fact. I mean, is that even legal? Seriously.
It's unprecedented. Is that even, yeah.
it's beggars belief that these criminal organisations are getting away with murder.
Do you think that knowing what you know now, if you rewound the clock 2 years, do you think you could have stayed in the medical profession knowing what you know now?
No way. And I would have liked to have stayed a bit longer to have been able to question my management, to be able to have given them data, like physically given them the data and said, you know, how do you explain safe when 3% died in the trial? How do you explain safe when 80% of young women had spontaneous pregnancy losses in the trial, you know?
Yeah.
How do you explain that the spike protein went to all the major organs, the heart, the brain, the spleen, the kidney? Like, how do you explain that? And how do you explain that you're saying it's safe, yet you have zero data available?
Mm. This is the thing, isn't it? It's the way that they look you in the face. It was like that video, that interview that Greg Hunt gave a couple of years ago when he said that this will be the biggest experiment we've ever done, and yet it's safe and effective. How can you say that an experiment is safe and effective if it's an experiment? Isn't that a contradiction in terms? And therefore, how come no one was able to pull him up on it? And
I don't know.
This is the point where we have, right? So this is where you come to the conclusion that it must be corrupted, or we have this idea of compartmentalization here that nobody dares stand on Greg Hunt's toes here because you're just not going to get anywhere from it. So we are now living in a world where it appears that those in charge are running this thing like it's a mafia. And you've just got nowhere to go here, and the system just has to implode or crack upon itself. We've only got a couple of minutes left. What should we be saying to our friends who have and family who have young children as a precaution to be able to do some form of research before they give informed consent if they are just considering injecting their children 5 and under?
My first point of call to any parent with a young child, please go on to the Children's Health Defence website. Children's Health Defence, there is a plethora of information there on not only the COVID vaccines, but all childhood vaccines. And I would be, I've got a red flag now for every injection. Like, I'm sorry, after this massive fraud and this criminal activity from our bureaucrats and our health departments, and the fact that it's been controlled and rolled out globally by the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the FDA, the CDC. It's just, it's all consuming by these controlling bureaucrats. And I would just say to parents, please, please, please do yourself a favor. Go and read the information and start asking questions, not just to your GP, but find some people who are giving another explanation or offering up a counter narrative, because only then are you ever going to get the other side of the argument, because at the moment there is no other side allowed. Science at the moment is just one way. It's one pathway. You can't argue against it, and that's not science. Historically, that is not science. Science is a debate. You have to be able to prove and disprove your theory.
Yes, that's right. Science is not settled. And just quickly before we go, we've run out of time, Mary Jane. How long were you a registered nurse for?
Well, I was only going into my fourth year, so I've not been a nurse for a long time. So I did a lot of other a lot of other things in my life. And maybe that's why I woke up, because I'd had such varied work history.
Yes. Okay. There you go. Thank you, Mary Jane. It's been a delight to have you on the show and to catch up with you again. And there's a fresh perspective for parents who are concerned. Please do your research. News coming up next. You are listening to TNT Radio.